Welcome to Growth Sessions. My name's Tony. I've got my good friend Brendan Robinson here. How's it going today, Brendan?
It's going good, man. How are you?
Doing very well. Doing very well. Well, I know that we've chatted a bunch of times in the past. I just want to kind of get you on the show and just chat about what you do and like how you got started in the business. Tell me your story, man.
Yeah, bro, for sure, man. So I'll tell you what, I'll give you my like back my 5-minute background spiel, and then okay. I'll kind of get into like what we're doing these days. So I got in the industry, my brother, Stan O'Cora, who's my co-founder with both companies, he approached me back in 2017 with the idea to put together an organization called 420 NJ Events. This was when Governor Murphy was first elected and had promised to make cannabis legal in the first, it was the first 100 days of his tenure. So we're obviously gung-ho. My brother comes to me with the idea, we put it together, and then obviously nothing happens, right? At the time, I'm working in business banking. You know, I've been in business banking my entire career since I was probably about 21 years old, business and retail banking. So I'm working, I'm doing pretty well for myself. Fast forward to 2020, boom, COVID happens. I get laid off. Right at the time I get laid off, New Jersey overwhelmingly votes for cannabis to be legalized. And my brother comes to me and goes, hey, what you going to do? I'm like, man, I'm going to go get a job. What do you mean? I got kids. I got this. You know what I mean? And he's like, nah, man, let's do cannabis. Let's push this 420 NJ Events thing. I'm like, what are we going to do? He's like, man, listen, you know, people need education, they need advocacy, so on and so forth. I'm like, I hear you, but like, you going to make a career out of that? Like, it's just, you know, how are we going to do that? He's like, man, just trust me. So I took his word for it. And, you know, I got to be real with you, brother. Like, I mean, almost instantly, like, just the overwhelming response we got back from the community. We first started with our Instagram. We built our own website. I mean, we did everything on our own. It was just me and him, own money. I mean, literally grassroots, man. We were the secretary, the CEOs, the engineers. Oh, my God. I spent hours on the phone with Bluehost going through that process. But we got it going, man. And once we got it going, we really created a platform where Black and brown folks in New Jersey, and at the time, it was really new, had somewhere to go to get informational resources, right? So as we started to expand, we started doing events. So our first event was like an educational seminar back in April of 2020. We started partnering with people like, you know, Terrasen and Columbia Care. Who else? Genova Burns, the Botanists. The list goes on. And we started partnering with these folks. So we did our educational seminar. We then came back and did an expungement clinic at the Hilton in Newark, New Jersey. And the thing about us, they like, we're a little different. We do social equity, but we focus on what we call like high-end social equity. You know, we don't subscribe to social equity being leftovers. We don't subscribe to social equity being an afterthought. We don't subscribe to it being second anything, right? So even our expungement clinic, we had a DJ, it was catered, it was at a ballroom. I mean, it was nice. Awesome, man. We had people come in, the governor tweeted it out about expungements the morning of, and it just drew attention to it. It was awesome. They got featured on High Times. So that really launched us. So when we did that, man, it was like an adrenaline rush. You know, I'm gonna be honest with you. It felt so good to see people coming out of our expungement clinic crying, to see people coming out just like, man, I get a second chance at my life. And man, it was intoxicating. So we came right back the following month and did a cannabis career workshop. And for the cannabis career workshop, we partnered with Columbia Care. Shout out to Columbia Care Cannabis, because I mean, those folks really helped us very early in our journey. But they partnered with us. We gave out free Google Chromebooks. We gave out free corporate headshots, free resumes. Equinibus, which is a Black-owned cannabis consulting firm in New Jersey, partnered with us. Wilma Brockington, Peggy Berg. And they came out and taught people how to build their resumes, to prepare for interviews. It was very comprehensive, man. And that did very well. So we come off all those things. And, you know, a piece I forgot to mention earlier in the process, our first gig ever with 420 NJ Events was with a company called Leafy Green Agency. That was in February. That was the first thing we ever did. And we went to this, it was a cannabis workshop. And we went to this cannabis workshop, we got to see the process for getting your license, your vertically integrated license in New Jersey. And as we're watching this, we're looking at each other and going, holy shit, how are Black and brown people going to do this? Whether it's from a financial perspective, whether it's from the business acumen perspective, whether it's from not understanding what's going on, or, you know, just being in the dark. So that at that moment, we decided we wanted to put together a comprehensive educational program called Minority Cannabis Academy, which I'll get to in a second.
Yeah, man.
So after we get done the career workshop, we go and we do a medical marijuana sign-up event. One of the big things we focus on in our platform is mental health. yep. especially in the minority community. You know, we talk about the war on drugs. We talk about us being four times more likely to be arrested for cannabis. We talk about all these different things, but we don't talk about what the impact of that did to our community mentally. So, you know, we wanted to really give folks access to the plant who normally can't afford it. And it's really expensive to get your medical marijuana card. And you got to know what to do, where to go, who to talk to. So we provided a complete streamlined process where they could sign up. We partnered with Jewish Sauce Boss over in PA. And folks came on. They were educated. We did a two-hour webinar. And they got to sign up for free. And we even paid for their state fee as well. So there was zero out-of-pocket expense for these individuals. Now, all those things happened. While those were all happening in the back burner, or in the background, rather, we were building out Minority Cannabis Academy. So Minority Cannabis Academy is an adult learning institution that's designed for minorities who come from these disproportionately impacted communities that's been disproportionately impacted by the war on drugs. And we focus on really helping Black and brown folks get come to our program, which teaches you bud tending. We have a course on cultivation. We have a course we're building out on entrepreneurship. We have a course we're building out on extracting and processing. And we have a course we're building out on medical marijuana and cannabis law. And the purpose of it is to partner with these MSOs, to partner with the state, whoever, any type of funding source, and put resources behind this organization so that we can provide this training, which is an 8-week training program, comprehensive, in-person, provide them with free education so that they can get a job in the cannabis industry. You know, because when you look at the cannabis industry, we have less than 5% representation. And as much as I want everybody to be a CEO, you got to learn the business first.
Oh, 100%.
Right? You got to start somewhere.
No, you have to start. It's key, man.
100%, man. You know, as Shia Brochendel, the CEO of Harmony and our primary partner on MCA, as he would say, you got to teach a man how to fish.
Of course.
The giveaways are great. The handouts are great. But let's be honest here. It's not enough. You know, I mean, to start a cannabis business, we're talking a million plus. Oh, if they God, came out tomorrow and gave everyone $250,000, it's not enough.
No, not even close.
You got to educate folks. So we're actually launching our program on July 11th. Where you know, we're narrowing it down to 25 individuals who will be selected. These folks are from impact zones. Some of these folks have been previously incarcerated, you know, and we really want to give them an opportunity to get exposed to cannabis in a very meaningful, insightful way, and then determine what they want to do with their career path. And then once we get past phase one this summer, we're raising funds as we speak, and you know, we just got approved for our 501c3 nonprofit. And we're going to come out next year with phase two and bring 125 students to the program.
That's awesome.
Every grade. Yeah. So that's pretty much, I mean, I know it's a little long-winded.
But this is great.
No, for sure.
No, it's just amazing. Like we've been doing this for a long time. And like when we talk with people, exactly as you say, it's just people, they're excited. The industry is exciting. They want to get into it. They just, I think it's everyone. There's a lot of people that just don't know they don't know where to start. Like there's nothing. I mean, there's a lot of books written about it, but like you say, like so many people, like, where do I go? Where they need a resource. Yeah, they need someone that they can lean on. And it's like, we give a lot of free advice. Like we're always talking to people. Like we've done a ton of grows. We've done a lot of different things in the industry. How can we help? Let's see if we can connect the dots. Let's put this person with that person. Like, let's just do some intros, because sometimes, you know, we don't claim to know everything, but boy, like we've touched a lot of touched a lot of different grows, and it's just trying to put people in touch with the right other people. And like you say, it's just amazing. Where do you see like the biggest challenge though? Like you seeing that like within the social equity community, I think there's a lot of ambition, a lot of drive, but I think it's a lot of like what you're saying, like you got to educate them, because it's a real thing. They have to start somewhere. They got to know. You know,
so it's funny you said, right? I had a call with a gentleman earlier. Very wealthy gentleman who's coming to Jersey with a couple of retail spots. And he literally said to me, Brendan, like, why is expungement so important? Right? And again, I don't knock him for saying it. It's an honest question on his end, right? But those are the guys and gals making decisions
mm-hmm.
that think, what's the big deal? Right? And when you think of things like that, and I broke it down to him, I said, listen, I got a buddy who can't coach his son's football team.
Yeah.
Because he had a freaking dime pack of weed 20 years ago. That makes yep. sense to you? That makes sense to you? Like you think he doesn't need help, right? And to answer your question, where I'm seeing the issue, is, number one, what I just said, the understanding aspect.
Mm-hmm.
If folks don't understand something, they're not going to support it. And I feel
on both sides of the coin, like the person that wants to get into it and the person that wants to find that everybody needs, like the education part, we're on the cusp, I feel like, just the industry itself. We're like, this is the early stages of just going to be an amazing, amazing project down the line, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just crazy out there.
No, for sure, man. But to your point, like, it's like, you got to have that understanding, and social equity has to matter on the balance sheet.
Mm-hmm.
Same way it matters on the conference call. Right.
And sure.
And what I mean by that, you look at these companies, man, they're making hundreds of millions of dollars.
Oh yeah. They're doing pretty good.
I wonder what their marketing budget is. Right. I wonder what their travel budget is. I can tell you this much. It don't look nothing like their social equity budget.
Yeah.
And until those categories and that category mean the same thing to them, you know, it's just lip service to me.
Yeah. I mean, people do have to step up and start doing things. And it's like, we're constantly, it's like you say, it's the education part, bringing people together too. You know, they've got to understand the community. Like you say, like, you've got all these different steps within the program of, you know, MCA. And it's like, people need to know, like, but you have to start, like, everybody, you know, a lot of people have tried weed, you know, and a lot of people tried cannabis, but like, it's a matter of, like, when you get in there, you just have to get started. Like, you have to learn it. I mean, it, like you say, it's education. The education part of it is just giant.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
I mean, they really do. Now, how do you feel like funding and lending too for social equity too? Like, I mean, that's like, you touched base on it earlier. Like you say, like, okay, we're going to give people $250,000. I mean, I know stuff that I see, like, $250,000 isn't really getting you much. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're building, I mean, and it's okay to start small. I mean, I'm not saying that no one should start small, but that's barely scratching the surface.
But you know, that's where the problem comes in though, brother, right? Like, so you're 100% correct in the fact that that's an issue, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if we go throw money at a problem without educating it, what are we fixing?
Yep.
It's got to be twofold, right? It's got to be, okay, here's a bunch of money waiting once you go do this, right? Okay, cool. Oh, here's some money to go help you go do that. Oh, and here are some people who are going to help you go do that.
Yep.
If you need more help, here's a phone number to call.
Yes.
That way, okay, you've given resources, right? It's not just money. You can give, right now, I can go give 10 people $1 million. All 10 ain't going to open up a dispensary.
Shit. Yeah.
Half won't open a dispensary. You know what I'm trying to say? And imagine, no. That's a generous act to give 10 people $1 million. But this problem that we're fighting, the war on drugs, was $50 billion.
Oh, God.
A year. You know, like, we have to understand what we're fighting against. So, like, I'm not saying we're going to come out here and spend $50 billion on social equity. But we have to treat it seriously enough where we're reversing a curse that's been here, shit, my whole life. Way beyond my whole life. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I remember seeing people get arrested for stuff that, like, I mean, it's a joke now. Mm-hmm. These guys got arrested. Like, it was like they're facing a hard time for something that now it's being sold everywhere.
I grew up in a time where I had friends get arrested with a quarter ounce of weed and go to jail.
It's insane.
And go to jail. Like, it's crazy, brother. It's crazy. Yeah, like, My father got arrested for cannabis when I was 13, did 10 years in prison. Ruined my whole entire childhood. Over
that's
cannabis.
Just,
like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
blows me away.
Nah, for sure. For sure.
No, that's just, yeah, that's just, it's, yeah, they gotta get rid of that. They have to do more of the expungement part of it. And then too, like you say, it's the education, you know, and being real. I think a lot of it you have to be real. Like, I've had a lot of hard conversations with people that come to us. We meet people at trade shows, we meet people at events, and you're trying to talk to them, and people, I'm excited for them because they're excited, but like, I have to be honest. I'm, you know, when we start talking about people and they're like, oh, I've got a person that has a building. I'm like, great. I'm like, you know, we start asking like all the questions that relate to us and they don't know. And I'm like, and listen, and I'm trying to be as honest and real, and, but without I don't want to burst anyone's bubble because I'm very excited to help people get into the industry.
But you need to be honest though.
You got to be straight up. I mean, and it's a hard conversation. And sometimes, you know, when you ask someone, you know, how's your business plan? Do you have a good business plan? And they go, no. I'm like, that's okay that you don't. I'm like, but let's put you in touch with someone that can help you with that. Like, mm-hmm. There's plenty. I mean, there's a lot of people that are jumping into that consulting world, which is great because we work with a lot of them. But at the same point, it needs to be a person that like, I always, like, I feel like I have to vet people, you know, like these people that are coming to us. And I'm like, listen, I'm going to put you in touch with a person that has a million connections like we do. Mm-hmm. But I think that this is good because you got to start, like, what's your business plan? Okay. What's your structure? How are you going to do this? You know, what steps are you going to take? There's like you said, you got to teach a person, how are they going to bait the hook? How are they going to fish in order to feed themselves?
No, for sure, man. I mean, like, you know, again, my background's business banking, business development. So when I came into cannabis, the first day I'm talking to Terrace, the first day I'm talking to Columbia Care, business plan, mission, right? But again, I've been exposed to an industry, corporate America. I ran the whole state of New Jersey's business bank. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm fortunate where I was exposed to those things where I can now come in here and apply these pieces, right? So if you want to give me a probity clause during my application process, I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But the average person is not like that. And you guys know that, right? Yes. So it's like, that's where my issue lies. It's like, they're now doing some things and they're putting certain things together. And I want to be clear. I have no issue with the CRC.
No.
I think they've done a wonderful job. You know, my issue is more in some of the policy making that came before that.
Yeah.
Some of the things that are being ignored, you know, and the fact that these MSOs just really aren't being held accountable.
No.
You know?
I agree. I mean, it's across every state. You see that. And I think that the market, I mean, MSOs, there's a place for everybody within the business and within the industry. But like you say, they need to be held accountable for certain stuff. And then on the flip side too, like it's all these craft cultivators. Like I call on all different customers all over the U.S. and in the craft cultivators, they have that passion. It's not just a spreadsheet. It's not just a number. It's that passion. When you talk to people with a passion, man, you can't help but get excited.
For sure. No, I couldn't agree more.
I mean, it's so cool because, you know, and sometimes, you know, they're just, some people just worried that all bottom dollar, but like, how what are you doing about this plant, this herb that's actually medicine? When I explain to people, like I go into these dispensaries, I go like dispensaries at Tide to Grow, it's because we are mostly focused on cultivation. When you see the people that are in there that are literally getting their medicine because they have MS, they have nighttime shakes, they have PTSD, they have all this stuff and they're on these crazy ass opioids. And again, that education part of it too, that needs to be addressed on how do you get yourself off of like these nasty prescription drugs into something that's natural, that's like available.
For sure.
Like it blows me away that the people don't even know that. It's like, oh, I'm afraid to try it. I'm like, well, they just need to educate even society. There has to be an outlet for someone that, you know, if my aunt who has MS and she wants to learn about weed to like help her get off of 17 drugs to help her sleep at night and, you know, help her legs not moving and stuff, it's just got to be there.
No, 100%.
You know, I mean, it's nuts.
Education's widespread, man. You know, whether you're educating yourself to become an entrepreneur, you're educating yourself to get off the opioids, you're educating yourself to medicate properly, you're educating yourself to microdose, you're educating yourself to cultivate. People have to understand that the world, whether we like it or not, in 5-10 years is going to revolve around cannabis.
Oh, 100%. Like, I'm seeing now, like, you can, just the sustainability parts of it, like, and there's going to be a lot of cool things. I mean, stuff that comes out of like the hemp plant. Like if you look at like old school history of people were required to grow hemp and cannabis plants for like, you were required to have a certain amount of plants in your yard because that was like how they made paper. That was how they made, that's how they made lumber. That's how they made fiber. That's how they made clothing. There's all these like great, like cool benefits. And we kind of, you know, just the way that, again, it was just about 100 years ago, they started doing that. It was like 110 years ago. Like they started banning all these things because it was easier and cheaper to grow. and people own the farm, and people own not the farms, the forests.
Yep.
So these people own the forests, and they're like, no, we're the paper industry. We're gonna petition to lobby and get that shut.
We'll do it. You know.
Oh, it's crazy. It blows you away. But what do you feel like with the federal part of it? Like, do you think? I mean, I'll let you say your opinion, then I'll say mine. We're probably on the same page with like people at the federal legalization.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's interesting, man. Like, I sway back and forth. I'm being honest. I sway back and forth, right? Because, of course, I wanted it to be federally, federally legal, right? I want everyone who's incarcerated right now for it to be home. I want people to smoke wherever they want to smoke. But I also want it to be regulated properly.
And 100%.
When you look at our country and how different the laws are just state by state, to just spin around and say, bam, here we go. This is going to cover everything, right? And then I also think we have to address social equity head on.
Yep.
Head on. And get a clear, you know, national plan in place before we go federal. You know, I mean, like, this is one of the biggest issues that I'm seeing in the industry across the board. I mean, every area has its own thing, but across the board, the social equity piece is a major issue. So I think we need to fix that. We need to get the banking aspect together. And then really just figure out some type of uniformity that works for, you know, the entire country. But, you know, I'm sorry, I'm a little indifferent to answer.
No, I look at it as like, I like it to be a little bit more defined. Exactly. And then too, as the Fed gets on, I definitely want the banking or being ease of money to people to access money like normal. Like, you know, you have a business plan, you go in there and you make a proposal and you have your pitch and do the whole thing. But like then just like the taxation, like you look at California, like it's like 50% tax. Like, so of course there's going to be black market grow. I mean, like you can't tax the crap out of everybody on it just because it is such a high revenue thing. But at some point that dollars will come down. So if it goes federal, I see the states will probably want to fight it because they're generating revenue. They don't want to give it all to the federal government. So, I mean, the federal government's, you just can't keep on taxing the person like in today's society. Like we can't keep on paying more.
Well, see, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, though, right? Because, like, when you think about the tax aspect of cannabis, like, you can't write anything off.
No.
So what people got to realize, when you see that guy or you see that gal with a dispensary, and you're jumping up and down, they got a dispensary, they might not even be making any money.
No.
Okay? Like not everyone that owns a dispensary is making money because, again, it's brutal, right? From a bank perspective. The average business is going to make their money and say, hey, I spent this much on my mortgage. I spent this much on employees. I spent this much on cost of goods sold. I spent this much on, right? And they get that benefit to then pay less taxes. But when you're in cannabis, you may make a ton of money, but you're paying taxes on every single dollar of it.
Oh, yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah, it's nuts. I mean, and they have to either, they got to either collect their tax on the cannabis and let them write stuff off, or there's got to be some sort of balance. I mean, again, I'm not a rule writer here. Like I just see what all of my customers and people I talk to are managing. And like you're 100% right. Like you can't write off anything. Like I had to build this out of pocket and I can't write anything off while these $1 billion, $1 million companies are figuring out a way to do it. You're like, oh, what the hell? Like
it's crazy, girl.
Yeah. It's going to be, I mean, I feel like there's still some states that have some good definition, at least learning it. You know what I'm saying? Like there's the states that have some good stuff going on right now. And then there's other states that are still learning it. And they've got to get on board. They got to follow like what's the good business model and how are we tracking it? And two, like you say, like some of these, there's stuff that's going on that shouldn't be going on, but and then yeah, I mean it's just nuts.
No, I'm with you, bro.
What do you feel with who's like it, like going back to like MCA and like in 420 NG events, like who are you guys, like when you're setting up certain events, who are you guys targeting? Like who are you looking for? Just social equity? Can other people come to your
so think of us this way, whether it's MCA or 420 NJ events, our plight, our mission is obviously to help the black and brown community.
Mm-hmm.
But we want everyone to help us do it. You know what I mean? It's not like, hey, just the black people come, just the brown. No, like my brother, Stan Okoro, is the co-founder of both companies with me. He always says it, man, like until the oppressor wants to help the oppressed, nothing else matters. Right. So like we view ourselves as the bridge, right? Because we have partnerships with these MSOs, the CEOs of these MSOs. We have partnerships with these legacy guys. Mm-hmm. We have partnerships with these community organizations. We have partnerships with these banks. We have the list goes on and on and on, right? Because we see ourselves as the glue.
Yes.
The beautiful thing about cannabis, it brings everybody together.
It's an amazing community.
You know what I'm saying? You may never meet this individual without this plant. So, okay, and bringing people together, how are we going to connect the dots for business? Mm-hmm. How are we going to connect the dots for social equity? How are we going to connect the dots for diversity and inclusion? Because, again, once federal legalization comes, all the big boys and big gals are coming.
Oh, yeah. And there's a lot of big pharma and there's a lot of big industry that's, like, already starting to scratch that surface. Like, you hear about these, like, big liquor companies that are involved in it. There's going to be big tobacco companies that are going to be involved. There's just a lot of money to be made, but they're just like letting it shake out right now. And they're just letting everybody else do the legwork, you know?
Listen, from a strategy perspective, I don't blame them, right? It's on us to understand that's what they're doing. So let me not fuck it up, right?
Yeah, it's the truth. It's the truth. They are letting, and they're trying to figure it out. And there's it's insane. Like the industry just is insane. What would be like somebody like your best advice for somebody that's just trying to get in? Like they're just trying, because I I'm out on the road a lot, and that someone or I meet someone that's like, getting a social equity or an inclusion, a diversion, and like they're getting a license for delivery. And I'm thinking to myself, well, what, like, and they don't have, I mean, nothing against a person, but they just don't have a dime.
Sure.
Like what would be their first, what do you think their first step is?
Like you just said, man, the first thing anybody should do is sit down and put a business plan together.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about a formal business plan you're going to submit to like the CRC or something like that, right? Just your personal business plan in the sense of how much money do you have, first and foremost. And then what part of the cannabis are you going into? Because it's very different. If you want to go start a dispensary, that costs X. If you want to go open up a 60,000 square foot grow, That costs a lot.
I can talk to you all day long about like the cost of like when I tell people that too, man. Like when someone's like, oh, I'm going to build, I've got 100,000 square foot license for a cultivation. I'm like, awesome. I'm like, because that's a big undertaking. And have you grown at scale?
You and your $30 million meet me on Monday.
Yeah, easy. That's an easy $30 million. Yeah, I mean, they're going to spend a ton of dough.
But think about that, right? You're talking about $30, $35 million versus one and a half.
100%.
Just by knowing what you want to do. So when you meet someone and you say, what do you want to do? And they say, I want to do cultivation or retail. I'm like, that's a big or.
Right? Yeah.
A big or. But to answer your question, the first thing I want to tell somebody, just put together your plan in terms of what in cannabis do you want to do? Once you decide what in cannabis you want to do you want to cultivate, right? Do you want to grow cannabis? Do you want to be a processor?
Yeah, manufacturing.
You might want to do marketing. Who knows, right? Figure out what you want to do, and then go learn everything about that niche.
It's crazy. Like I meet people, and they're like, "Well, I'd love to get in the industry, but I don't know. I don't think I have any experience." I'm like, "Dude, like it is. There's so many aspects of the industry. When you go to these big events, these big trade shows, there's so many different angles of this industry, besides like the banking, the ATMs, the human resource part. Like you need people to just set up systems. There's like irrigation, there's water, there's filtration. There's so much.
That's the biggest mistake people make in cannabis.
I don't think I have anything there. I'm like all these guys that I know I've been in sales for 25 years, approaching 30 years. And I'm like, dude, I'm like, there's so much different things that you can do in this business. You don't have to know anything about the plant. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't, I mean, there's.
But that's what makes it so awesome, right? Is that it's the only industry where you literally can just be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you're good at, if you're a cannabis enthusiast, incorporate cannabis to whatever you're good at. I love to make deals. I love to sell. I love to negotiate. I love to build teams. I love to mentor people. I love to push the envelope. That's what I do. You know,
that's the best.
That's what I do. And, you know, but that's what's exciting about cannabis. I tell people all the time, like, I met a guy that was an accountant. And I'm like, hey, what do you want to do? I want to cultivate. I'm like, cool. What's your pruning technique? He's like, what? I'm like, yeah, okay. So
you don't want to cultivate. Yeah. It's a good idea. You saw a video.
So I'm like, and I wasn't saying to be a smart ass, but it's like, why don't you just be an accountant? Like, just be a cannabis accountant. Smoke weed with your clients and do their books to the best of your, like you don't have to reinvent the wheel, you know?
No. So. And it's true too. It's like, there's guys that, like, I know enough about growing. I know a lot about growing, let's put it that way. But like when I meet grows, I was at an event last night up in Worcester, and you're meeting these cultivators and you're talking to them, it's next level shit. Like these guys, like the knowledge that these people have, like they're just students of the plant. And it's still indoor farming. So like we're talking about like the whole corporate cannabis thing, like how, yes, there's a spreadsheet that you have to attend to, and there's definitely goals and all these things, but it's still a plant. Shit can fail. I mean, stuff can just go sideways easy. I mean, it's... On a large scale, when it goes sideways, it can go sideways at a big dollar.
and here's the damage, man, because let's say you're a guy with $200,000. You're sitting in your living room right now listening to this podcast, and you're like, I'm going for it. It took a lot to come from these neighborhoods and make $200,000 saved.
Oh, yeah.
Saved.
Yeah.
They're going to lose all their money and get nothing because they didn't know it cost 1.2.
Yeah, exactly.
So when they went and spent $60,000 on the application writer, I'm good. They spent $20,000 on their business plan. I'm good. They hired the attorney for the trademarks. I'm good. Oh, shit, I got to buy a building? What's that cost? Wait, the rent was $2,500. Why are you saying it's $7,500? Because I'm cannabis. Wait, hold on. No one told me none of this.
Yeah.
Where's my money at? I got my money back? No, that's gone.
It's all gone. And
that's what's happening. That's the truth of what's happening.
Well, and also, too, then what's happening is these people are they're just trying to get into the industry. And then what's happening is they don't know. They're like, well, I'm going to sell some equity. And there's a lot of like when they want to sell equity, that's okay. I mean, that's an angle and a target that you can do, and you can approach it looking like, okay, I'm going to get this license. I have certain, you know, I have my three partners, but then I'm going to sell some equity to somebody that's got the money. But at some point, if they give you money to buy stuff or they give you money to run your business, that note's going to come due at some point. Mm-hmm. So be prepared. Like, and I tell people that, like, when you give up equity, and there maybe like make sure that's defined, because at some point that person might just say, hey, listen, I gave you X amount of millions of dollars. I want it back. So be prepared.
What's it go back to though? Education.
Yeah. They just don't know.
Who told them to know that? who told them, B, how to write that contract? Who yep. told them, B, to not sign that one provision they added? Right? Yes. It's so many hurdles, man.
Oh, yeah, it's crazy. And I think it's right. It goes back to the education part of it. And I'm always trying to help people out and put them in touch with certain people and I give them an education. And like, I feel like I give a lot of great information for people with the intent at some point, you know, yeah, we're a lighting manufacturer. Like, I would love for you, when you do, you build your grow, I'd like you to consider us, you know, it's like, that's what, like the end of the day, but I'm like, I'll put you in touch with 1,000,005 people because we've been doing this for a long time. And I see the successes and the failures and you can see it. And I'm like, listen, I'm not saying I know it, but why don't you take a look at that? Why don't you consider and a lot of part of it too, like I work with a lot of different architects and some of the architects and we have like the same mentality. Like, yes, you do have a giant license, but the key is going from a home grow, small grow to going to scale is to just get started. You don't need to do it all at once because everybody's gonna make mistakes, but let's see if we can reduce the mistakes to a manageable amount. And again, goes back to education.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, screwing up your grow at a 2,500 square foot grow is a lot different than a tier six.
Oh yeah, there's a whole other, yeah. When someone's like, well, I've got whatever in the room and I have to kill a whole room because it's got something in it. You're like, it comes at a cost.
Yeah, and going back to what I said about the taxes, right? Your margins are so thin. You can't afford that loss.
No.
What you going to do?
And then you look at like what they're, when you try to explain to people, because they're looking at like, I don't want to say it's an inflated pound price. We'll call it a pound price. You know, Massachusetts is different from Maine, from Rhode Island to New Jersey to Pennsylvania to Michigan. What are they getting per pound right now? You got to build that business model on at rock bottom. What is it rock bottom going to cost me to build this grow? Okay, and I can enjoy some good profits now to get going and get out of the hole, we'll call it. But be prepared because at some point that market's going to taper and balance out where you're going to have to be growing at efficiency. So yeah, it's insane, man. It's such a cool, but again, this is like, it's the dialogue that we have right now, like helping out. Well, how can we help? Like if you were to reach out to people and say, what are you looking for? Like if we reached out to 100,000 people right now and like, what would you say?
I mean, honestly, man, funding, mm-hmm. you know, we're officially a 501c3. Obviously it's a tax write-off. And we need funding. We need to build our team out. We need to expand the program. Mm-hmm. We need to expand the locations. I mean, it's like what we're looking to do is almost threefold, right? We want to educate people and get them in the industry. Just bare bones minimum. Let's get them in the industry, right? As we get people in the industry, we then want to create pathways, whether it's growing in their career to become a general manager, growing in their career to become a cultivation director, branching off being an entrepreneur, right? Now the industry is starting to form out. Okay, cool. Then we want to build a mentorship program. So those mm-hmm. same people that went through that got those lifts, right? That was a part of this ecosystem. They have that same compassion for the next man, the next one. 10 years from now, we're not having the same conversation if we do that. And it's not that heavy of a lift if we do it right now.
Yes. We're at the early stages, man. We can set some of those baselines right now.
Listen, I see things where this got done for 40 million, that got done for 60 million. Why not do it with cannabis?
Yeah.
Why not deal with minorities in cannabis, man? Let's put some real money behind this thing and build this out and really help these people.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree, man. Because it's like it's just going to help society overall. I mean, it's just going to help everyone. I mean, it's just
the world, man. Remember I said on TSR Grow, it's going to change the world.
I'm telling you, it is. I mean, I think this industry, it's going to be one of the number one employers. Perfect. You know, it's going to be. Right now, like what they say in Massachusetts, cannabis sales have exceeded $3 billion. some giant ass number. I'm like, what?
Crazy.
Dude, like the dollars that are being spent. But like even to some of the guys, just because of how the economy is going right now, like some people they're like, geez, we're a little bit slow right now. And you can see it because all these other things are bumped up in price and it's not balancing because their salaries didn't go up. You know, so now like where do they... But they're still now they might not go to a dispensary. They're going to go to a black market. They don't know what this person's growing.
Yep.
So you're like, you could be buying some nasty crap. And like, that's not the way to consume, you know, because I mean, everybody's done it. They've got someone that might have a person, but that's just not the way to do it. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's insane. It's just insane, dude. This is exciting. I mean, it's such a cool time to be. So what's your next event coming up?
So I mean, right now we're laser focused on MCA. So We narrowed down our participants, and now we're getting ready for orientation, which we're going to do on June 20th.
Cool.
So we got orientation, and then we're actually launching on July 11th. So our primary focus is there. We're putting together an expungement clinic for later in July as well. So we're going to be reaching out to a couple sponsors to kind of get that together. Really, and that's going to be huge because we're probably going to venture off to PA for that.
Okay.
And, so one of the things we found out after doing our medical marijuana sign-up event, we have about 120,000 medical patients here in Jersey, 600,000 plus in PA.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we didn't know that.
I didn't know that because I thought the populace in New Jersey and versus in New York was just giant. I didn't think it was that high in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, neither did we, right? So we started doing obviously some research, and we're like, shoot, not only do they have that, they have 150 dispensaries in PA.
Yeah, there's a lot, but they're owned by, there's only about a dozen, I think there's only a dozen MSOs in that state right now.
But the reason that's important, right? Like one of the biggest hurdles we hear in our community is that, hey, man, I would love my medical card, but I'm not driving 30 minutes to get cannabis. Not when Ray Ray lives down the street, right?
Yep.
Now you go where there's a dispensary every 15 minutes. Yeah, okay, cool. I'll go get some medical cannabis, Yep. So things like that matter, So you got to just connect those dots.
I agree. I mean, and there's definitely some, when I was talking to some people last night, just like that, having access to like these people that need some medicine, regardless of who they are, but there's some people that just need some help. There's some vets out there, like you say, there's a black and brown community. There's people that just need help and they need some medicine and they just can't afford it. And sometimes the dispensary is just not there. So I think there's got to be something built into some programs where if people need something and I don't know if there's a qualifier, what the qualifier would be, but there's some people that just need some help. They need some medicine.
For sure. Again, I got to keep going back to it, man. It's just funding, right? Because we've thrown these events. We've shown we can do it. If we get the right funding, we could throw bigger ones. Everything we've done, we've quantified. There's data behind it.
Yes.
So the more we had resources to market it, the more we had resources to push it out to the masses, the bigger they would be. That's why we're so hell-bent on just getting the state's attention and getting them to realize what we've done, what we're doing. Because, you put the resources behind this thing and it fixes a lot of the problems.
Of course. Now, how do you feel like going like two different, like you said, you can go to PA right now in New Jersey. You're going to go to PA. Are you thinking of, spreading your wings in New York, New England?
Yeah. You got to go to New York, right? Because when you think about the tri-state, we're all too connected, right? Yeah. We're interchangeable. We all go to the other place for different things, so on and so forth. So I just feel like you can't go to New Jersey without going to Europe, without going to PA. And I think New York's going to obviously be a robust market. You think about the war on drugs, you got to start in New York.
There's been a lot of people that have been locked up for some nasty shit. I mean, for just stupid.
Stupid shit, man. Stupid shit. So we got to obviously, help our brothers and sisters in New York as well.
Heck yeah, man. Heck yeah. I mean, I'm looking forward to it. Like, as you guys coming down, when you're starting to identify and talk like cultivation stuff, let us know, because they're saying we've got some connections and people, and you're talking with folks in Pennsylvania and New Jersey that we actually are customers of ours, which is great. Which I just kind of chuckle at that because people don't even know, and it's the best part of it. And then like up in New England too. And it's like, I know that like we follow each other on LinkedIn, and like, I just see some of the people that you're connected to and you comment on. I'm like, I've been talking with these people for a while. It's the best, dude. When you tell, again, it's the community part. Cause when you tell someone like, oh yeah, like I talk with them, they're like, oh no shit. They're like it's just, or you say, this person, they're like, oh, you do. I'm like, or you go, you like show up at an event and all these people know me. I'm like, it's it's a cool, cool community. I mean, yeah, it's the best.
All right, man. I appreciate you, man. Thank you for your time.
Awesome, Brendan. We'll talk to you soon, brother.
All right, brother.
Have a good day.
Peace.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of Grow Sessions. This podcast is brought to you by TSR Grow. I hope you learned something today. If you have any questions you'd like answered, please feel free to reach out to us through our social media channels or via our website, www.tsrgrow.com. Please don't forget to share this podcast, and remember, keep cultivating.